Hello and welcome to Echoes of Glory Season 8, Episode 24. I'm Jack.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Kevin.
So we're going to start tonight's show by talking about pundits. So there's been a lot in the press recently about female pundits, biased pundits, the media loving with Liverpool, all of this stuff. So what I want to talk about first is, who's your favourite pundit? Either on Sky Sports, BT, the radio, journalist that you like reading his stuff, who would you say is your favourite? Sam, I'll come to you first.
My favourite pundit would have to be JJ, purely for biased reasons. I just like having someone that sticks up for Spurs, really. Unbiased option, I really, really like Martin Keown as a pundit. I think he's really, really knowledgeable.
Even though he's former scum,
he's very, very level-headed in the games and will say it as it is, unlike a lot of Arsenal pundits, I'm sure, Dad, you're going to come on to now. But they're my favourites.
I love Graham Souness, probably because, especially Woolwich under
former
Wenger.
Former Spurs midfielder.
Well, yeah, the one match. But I always used... he came up with a classic when he was talking about Woolwich and he said... this set of players never failed to disappoint, and that was brilliant. But I like him. I think he's quite good.
I also really enjoy his hatred for Theo Walcott.
Yes,
as well.
Yeah,
he's fantastic.
He's always
digging Walcott out.
Yeah, he said it took him 10 years to score 100 goals. What's all that?
He said he needs to calm down, didn't he?
Yeah. I like him, but I think Alan Shearer's improved immensely as a pundit on Match of the Day.
Really?
I really think he has.
Extremely dull, Shearer.
I do like Ian Wright as a pundit because I think he wears his heart on his sleeve. And when he's talking about Tottenham playing well, he always says, "Oh, I don't like saying this, but I've got to say they are playing well, begrudgingly and things like that." Hate pundits. Robbie Savage.
Chris Sutton.
Not a big fan of Jamie Redknapp. Gary Lineker drives me mad, I have to be honest, as a presenter. I think he's too smug. Thierry Henry was absolutely dreadful as a pundit. I thought he was okay at interviewing players. Dreadful as a pundit.
Even worse as a manager.
We're split on Henry, aren't we?
You are split.
Because I quite like Henry as a pundit.
What do you like about him?
I like Henry when he's not watching an Arsenal game, looking at attacking analysis. I think it's really interesting because... You hate him because he played for the scum. He was one of the best strikers to ever play in the Prem.
He did a fantastic piece on Monday Night Football where he analysed his own game when he was playing for Barcelona and Pep Guardiola's vision.
It was incredible.
He talked about how there was one game in the Champions League they were playing away. It might have been CSK Moscow, someone like that. He was playing out wide. Messi was through the middle and I think it was David Villa maybe on the other side. And he said, he got in at half-time there, 1-0 up, he'd scored. He said he was everywhere. He said it was one of the best 45 minutes I've played. Pep took him off. Said to him, "I want my wide men wide, not going over to the other side of the pitch." So he subbed him at half time. That's the kind of manager Guardiola is.
It's just incredible. Pep, isn't it? You know, he was berating his team at the weekend. I think, you know, probably because they've only been 4-0 at half time.
But yeah, sorry, we split on Henry.
Yeah, I think the Sky needs, especially when they're showing live games, you know, how many times they're going to wheel out Alan Smith to do our games? That drives me insane. And you can feel, because he's an ex-Arsenal player, he's willing the other team on, like anyone else would.
Can't blame him.
So I love it when, obviously, when the great man, when he's well enough, Glenn Hoddle, when he's back on TV, I love it when he's doing our games because he refers to us as we. And I love that. And I've got don't want to have Alan Smith doing Arsenal games, absolutely fine, because, you know, most of the time I don't bother watching them. So, you know.
Any others that stand out, or that's pretty much your list?
Just off the top of my head. I think Sky at the weekend, they had like three Liverpool players.
I was going to say that. Such a Liverpool loving.
Souness, Redknapp and Carragher all on the site doing the same game, you know. And I just think that's a little bit too much. I think it's nice when you have a team on, so you have... Like tonight, they've got Wolves and Newcastle. If you have two ex-players, you might have a third player where you've got one of the regular pundits as well. Yeah. So
I always think it's good when they get a player that's played for both sides on as well, because that is general balance, isn't it? Like Spurs, Newcastle the other week, like the perfect pundit would have been Genius, wouldn't it? If he'd been on BT and he's played for both. I put this out on social media earlier, so I had some great responses as usual. So Becky THFC said on Twitter, "Hate Alan Smith. why we have a gooner commentating all our games is beyond me. Surprisingly, I like Gary Neville, who's usually very fair and talks sense.
I quite
like Gary Neville. I think he's a good pundit. And friend of the show, Giles Edwards, he said, I think Graham Souness is top, and Lineker. Thierry was surprisingly articulate and talks sense, and Neville has his moments. For least fave, see BT Sport and all of the ex-Liverpool players. Owen, McManaman, Savage.
Brilliant.
So good comments there from Giles. And then on Facebook as well, had some good response on there. Stato, he's called out Chris Waddle. Said very, very good on Five Live. He doesn't like Dean Saunders and Paul Ince.
We were talking about Chris Waddle, actually.
Chris Waddle was a great
before we come on. And Mrs. Latchford was saying how good he was as on the radio. And she was also calling out David Pleat as well, wasn't she?
It was interesting how Stato talks about Dean Saunders, because you actually quite like listening to him on TalkSport.
I quite like him. Of a morning, I could probably see him being a very biased pundit when it comes down to the teams he cares about. But yeah,
he's good on TalkSport mainly because he just calls out Alan Brazil for being so overweight.
Yeah, it's pretty
quite good. Javad on Facebook, host of the Tottenham Hotspur Family Podcast. Harry Redknapp's his favourite, always talks well of us, and JJ too. Liam Rossini and Craig Bellamy seem knowledgeable and talk more common sense than most. And he likes Tim Sherwood for the lull factor. The rest are anti-Spurs and pretty forced, so can all collectively jump off a cliff.
Wow.
There we go. Daryl on Facebook, Jermaine Genius is his favourite.
Yeah.
And Jamie Carragher is his least favourite. And Andrew Miller on Facebook has said he hates Charlie Nicholas as he's so anti-Spurs. Also not a fan of Souness or Merson, as every week on Soccer Saturday, he's essentially acting as agent, just trying to sell our best players and talks a load of rubbish.
Merson's a good one.
If ever I'm around on a Saturday afternoon and Soccer Saturday's on, I try and avoid it now because I'm fed up with... I'm fed up with that, and Phil Thompson up and on about Liverpool. So there's other programmes you can watch now.
Yeah. A couple of pundits that haven't been mentioned that I love listening to. Owen Hargreaves, who's maybe not the most articulate, but you listen to him talking about, you know, times when he was at Bayern Munich or Man United. And I think, I don't know, I just really like listening to him.
It's interesting.
And Roy Keane. He's another one. I love Roy Keane.
Says it how it is, doesn't he?
He says it how it is. He's a Marmite player and he's a Marmite pundit. And, you know, unfortunately, we're not going to see as much of him on TV anymore because he's taken the job at Knott's Forest. But I think he's brilliant.
But Roy Keane's press conferences were legendary, weren't they? When he was at Ireland and when he was at, even going back to Ipswich. I mean, the whole thing about Robbie Keane, the one having the baby, if you haven't seen that, look that up.
I'll send the video round on Twitter. Brilliant. Of the best moments of Roy Keane in press conferences, because it's hilarious. So thanks everyone for your contributions. There's loads more, but we haven't got time to get through all of them. But this stemmed from all of the criticism on social media that female pundits, and in particular Alex Scott's, been getting over the last month or so, which is absolutely disgusting, if I'm being totally honest. I really like her as a pundit. I think she's great, and people have been, you know, slagging her off, saying, oh, you know, you didn't play the men's game, of course you didn't, what do you know about men's football? It's like, well, she's played football at the highest level.
She's won more silverware than most of the regular pundits that do that show anyway. So if you want to talk about someone being on the show because of what they've achieved in the game, she deserves to be on there just out of merit.
And that, for me, is fundamentally the biggest point, that this is, in any job that you work in, you want to be there on merit.
Yeah.
And you can't say that she is not being employed by Sky on merit. Because all these pundits, all these male pundits that, you know, are on Sky Sports, BT or whatever, they're all there because they were top players.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you get your job. She was a top player. You know, like you said, Sam, she's won everything domestically. She's got 70-odd caps for England, played at World Cups, like, achieved as much as any of the pundits in that studio. Arguably put together, she's won more than lots of people that she's on with. So the treatment that there's been on social media has just been absolutely appalling. And it just makes you think, you know, what kind of world are we actually living in, where, you know, somebody that's qualified to do the job is getting slagged off because she's a woman. I find it really, really bothers me. And it's just, it's terrible. And I thought that, you know, what better place to voice our thoughts on it than on the podcast? Yeah. Because it's not right. It's not right.
No, it's not.
And anybody that, you know, thinks that she shouldn't be on there, you just really need to have a look at yourself, because I can't figure out the mindset of, No. Why you'd want to go on social media and abuse her for, you know, doing a job that she's employed to do. And I'm not saying you have to like her.
No.
You don't have to. And we've just talked about pundits then. We've all got differing opinions on them.
You have to respect what she's achieved. Dad, you hate Thierry Henry and think he's a rubbish pundit, but you respect what he's achieved in the game and you understand why he's on there as a pundit. I think it is disgusting. I think it's a generational thing of, no offence, Dad, but a lot of guys from your generation not being able to adapt to how social media and how football is now televised in the modern day. I think it's disgusting.
I just think it's incredibly sad that people have got so much time on their hands so they've got nothing better to do with their time.
I think it's brilliant that there are female pundits. I think it's brilliant that we're getting more black pundits on the telly as well. And you know, the more diverse it can be, the better. Like, that's what we want. We don't want three male, white, ex-Liverpool players sat around all saying the same thing. How boring does that make? We all love it when we watch a game and there's an incident in the first half and at half time the pundits look like they want to get into an altercation with each other because they disagree so much. That's what makes good TV.
Which is
TV.
Like we've been disagreeing over the pundits.
That's the beauty of football, though. Football as a sport and as a game is diverse. Anyone of any age, culture, race, gender can play the game, and I think that there's only a small demographic being allowed to pundit is a joke, to be honest.
Yeah. I think, though, as you know, there's obviously more black players playing nowadays than there was 10 years ago and 10 years before that. So as that generation filters through, then that should, you know, you should get more black pundits on TV.
Definitely.
As that generation filters through.
Yeah. But I've got a lot of respect and admiration for Alex Scott, actually, for taking all these comments on social media, but you know, coming out and speaking out against it, and you know, like, go on her Twitter page if you haven't, and just read. And it's like, I think she's fantastic. I think she's a great role model for anybody in football or anybody that is works in an industry or a sector that is difficult for you to break into. I think, you know, try and read as much stuff as she's putting out there, because I think, I've got a lot of time for
definitely.
It. We've got a very, very tasty game to review from the weekend, which was the Leicester game.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, one of... I was there yesterday, and it was one of my favourite games of the season. It was a proper Premier League game. Lots of British players on show as well, which I think always makes for an entertaining spectacle, because, you know, there's lots of big challenges. Yeah. Like the Leicester centre-halves, Maguire and Evans, like, you know what you're going to get out of them. Winks in midfield, Rose, Trippier. There's a lot of English players on show, which I think is excellent. I was surprised initially when the teams came out and Toby was on the bench. I was really, really surprised at that, just given the stature of how fantastic he is. Sanchez and Vertonghen in at centre-half. Interestingly, I believe it was that pairing that played against Leicester at Wembley last year when we conceded 4. So I was a little bit worried, thinking Corey shipped a load of goals in that crazy end of the season game last year. And the game started, and you know what? The first 20 minutes, they battered us. They really did. They created a couple of chances. Harvey Barnes, who was playing on the left wing for Leicester, who had a pretty good game, he couldn't finish.
Apart from the fact he couldn't put the ball in the net.
He couldn't finish, but you know, he had a pretty good game. And this is a guy who, only a few months ago, was on loan at West Brom, playing under Darren Moore, and got a great, you know, run of games there. Leicester called him back, and he's, you know, shown that he can do it in the top flight. So that's another player that, you know, there's talent in the lower leagues. You just got to give him an opportunity. So I thought he caused us quite a few problems. We were playing out from the back, and Leicester weren't afraid to press us, which, this might sound a bit strange, a bit backwards, but as a fan being there, I want to see those kind of sides pressing us.
The whole point of playing out from the back. It's why we do it.
It's almost a trick, isn't it, from
definitely
Poch, that you play out from the back and encourage the sides to come and press you, and you can play round them or get in the channels. But for the first 25 minutes of the game, really, we couldn't really play out the press. And it ended up being a set piece, which opened the scoring. Short corner, I love a short corner.
I love a short corner.
Trippier to Eriksen, lovely, lovely ball in. And Sanchez just wanted it more, ultimately. Got his head on it. First goal for Spurs. We were all saying in the ground, actually, Steve was sitting next to him, we were saying, we're trying to figure out if he'd scored for us or not, and we couldn't remember him scoring, and then found out naturally that was his first goal. So
great celebration as well.
Great celebration. Great player though, Sanchez. Like, I feel like he gets overlooked a lot. Like, he's 21.
He's
a fantastic, fantastic centre half. And hopefully he's gonna be with us for many years. So getting at half time 1-0 up, and you're thinking, all right, match of the same second half, hopefully we can kick on a little bit, keep the ball a little bit better. But the second half actually started quite similar to the first in terms of Leicester really pressed us high, went for it. They got the penalty, which was, you know, an amazing moment. You know, Vardy stripped and ready to come on off the bench, comes on for the penalty. It's his first touch. He's giving it as he, you know, as he's coming on. There was a shot on Match of the Day last night, which is as he's waiting to take the penalty, Danny Rose is behind him, talking getting in his ear. He's, yeah. And I don't know what but he gets in his head because the penalty from Vardy was
called him out with steptoe.
Was
reckon.
Pretty. I mean, it was a pretty poor penalty.
Did you think it was live watching the game? Did you think it was a penalty? Because we, me and you, Dad, we disagreed. We were watching the game,
yeah.
And we disagreed on whether we thought it was a penalty or not. But live, did you think it was?
I'm down the other end of the ground when that incident difficult. Happened, and I actually thought that what he'd given was, because I know Winks was on the floor, so it was difficult for me to say. I thought Winks had maybe handballed it or something like that.
Right.
I didn't really know what had happened because I'm down the other end of the ground. I've seen it since. It's soft. For me, it's the same as the Sun one in the first half, what Sun got booked for diving. There's contact, but there's not enough contact to go down on either of them, and you should be staying on your feet in that situation. But the problem with that is you stay on your feet, you'll never get it. If Maddison doesn't go down off that time, the contact, you cannot debate, is not enough to put him on the floor. But he can say, I've got a right, if there's contact, I've got a right to go down.
Exactly.
And it's one of them. That's what modern football is. You can love it, you can hate it.
Henri Pierre's did it at Arsenal for years, and they were the ones that brought it in, and they were the masters at doing it.
But the penalty was a fantastic moment, and we were actually saying, waiting for Vardy to take it, we could only remember Loris saving one penalty for us, which was against Monaco years ago in the Champions League.
I didn't fancy him. I
never do for
Vardy,
penalties.
Vardy's normally quite good from penalties. He hits the ball really hard, so I always have no confidence when someone comes up and properly strikes.
A lot of penalties in the Premier League, though, are put away, just given it's the highest level.
Yeah.
We was watching in the pub, me and Sam, and I sat there and never fancy Hugo on penalties.
No.
It wasn't a great penalty, weren't in the corner, but it was still a very, very good save.
It was a very good save. And Loris, you know, he had that was one of the best games I've seen him have for us, because he made a save
from Barnes
two or three minutes later when Barnes was clean through. And I mean, he should have scored, but it was brilliant goalkeeping. He stayed up, stayed big, and saved it. And you know, they're two big moments. Like we could have found ourselves 2-1 down in the game at that point, and we got up the other end and, you know, Eriksen scores. Llorente, who I don't think had his best game for us, although he was being fouled by Maguire for the whole game and the referee wasn't giving anything.
Can I just say something about the fouls? When we was watching it on TV, it was at 60 minutes, we'd only been given 2 free kicks.
We'll come on to the overall refereeing performance in a minute. But I didn't think Llorente had his best game, but he's involved in the second goal.
Yeah,
where he finds himself a bit of pocket of space, lays it off. It's a brilliant finish from Eriksen. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, he had a much better game, because I think the last half a dozen games his performances haven't been that great, Eriksen. But the way he strikes it was just a sensational finish.
I kind of expected it to go in, to be honest, when he's around the area of the box.
You know, you've got a chance.
How many goals has Eriksen scored around the edge of the box like that and putting the ball in the corner?
I think that's a weakness of Schmeichel, when you get shots like that. Kane did him on a few, didn't he?
Hit him early.
When you beat him about, you know, 10-1, when you beat 6-1 up there. And a lot of shots just taken early on the edge of the box like that. So I think that's something we've worked on. Yeah. And again, it's very similar. He was nowhere near it, was he? You know, it was a cracking goal.
And then, you know, at 2-0, I'm thinking, all right, that's game over, really. You know, like, we've survived their spell, they've missed a penalty, we've gone up the other end, I'm thinking that's pretty much done. But fair play to Leicester, they came back, and Ricardo, who caused Trippier quite a lot of problems most of the afternoon, actually, I didn't think Trippier was fantastic.
No, he was poor.
He gets an overlap run in, fizzes the cross in, Vardy's on the end of it, it's 2-1. And from that point, you know, like all of a sudden the game changes. It's mad what a goal does to a football game, because we were in such control at 2-0. They score one, everyone gets nervous, defence drops.
See, I actually thought, because like you said, we were sitting in the pub watching it, and when the goal goes in, you went into melt. You were nervous, weren't you?
As
every Spurs fan is when a team gets a goal back in the game.
You should never lose a 2-0 lead, that's
I'm struggling to think. After it went 2-1, I don't know, but How many saves did Loris have to make?
I don't think he made
none that I couldn't
there was, say. There was one big chance they had, which was Vardy, where a cross got played back and he was about on the penalty spot. He took it first time and put it over, and that was a good chance. And they looked dangerous the whole game, Leicester, really, from set pieces.
Yeah.
Because Maguire, I think that might be the first time I've seen Maguire play live. I've only seen him a couple of times.
Big bloke.
He's ginormous. Yeah. As in, he towers over Llorente.
Yeah.
And Llorente is a big bloke. He must be about 6'4", 6'5", Maguire.
6'4", I think, yeah.
He's a real, real big unit.
I think it's something that I've noticed this season with our defence, because people have been saying that we've been conceding more goals, which I think we have compared to last season. But I actually think in games where we're under the cosh and you need to, as a team, in certain situations like we did, is go, right, we haven't got the ball, accept it, get in and see the game out. And I think that's something that we've done extremely well this year. And I know Leicester were putting the pressure on, but I was sitting there thinking, all we've got to do is wait for our one chance, take it, and the game's done.
You actually said that, didn't you?
And you know what? That's exactly what happened. We soaked the pressure up. They had a lot more territory in the second half, but then we break in the 91st minute.
Got a
Sissoko with a brilliant clearance that turned out to be one of the passes of the season. Son's pace.
Get an assist for that, won't he?
He does get an assist for that. Son's pace, you know, like he runs away from pretty much any defender in the world. Certainly Johnny Evans. They can't get back. Schmeichel comes out, tucks it away. Brilliant, 3-1. And you know what? I love those moments as a fan where you can see what's about to happen.
Sense of relief.
You know he's going to tuck it away.
You know what's going to happen. Like as the ball was falling to Sissoko, because I'm down the end that Son scored, so I'm looking at the whole pitch. You see Son start to make a run, and the Leicester defender slip just before Sissoko plays it. And you think, if he's put enough on this pass, he's in. It reminded me of in the Madrid game when Kane got the ball and you saw him look up and Eriksen made the run.
Yeah,
and you're like, it's about to happen. And it was the same for the Sun.
That's the Sun goal. Greatest goal was scored at Wembley.
He tucks it away. Son goes crazy. There were loads of Korean supporters sat around us, which was fantastic when that goal went in, because they were going absolutely crazy.
I love the Korean supporters at Wembley.
They're fantastic.
They bring a great energy to the game. They're fantastic. Great
when they announced them at the beginning, didn't they? And you just hear this cheer, didn't you? Yeah. It goes up. It's really good.
And that was it. You know, job done. 3-1. A tough game. Another game that we've come through it. Taken 3 points. 5 points off the top.
We are in the title race.
You know, we've got a game in hand on City, which is the Burnley game, because they've got the cup.
Yeah, I believe so.
And
yeah,
you know what? That weekend, Liverpool or Old Trafford.
I didn't know that.
Liverpool or Old Trafford. What's so a game, you know, that's gonna if be? We win, City aren't playing, so we go 2 points behind City. If Liverpool lost to Old Trafford, it would be 65 points City, 65 points Liverpool, 63 points Spurs.
It's mental, the season that we're having, isn't it? It's absolutely incredible.
We're going to win it then?
Yeah, we're going to win it. Well, I get frustrated with Spurs fans. I've been saying it to you two. Obviously, as a realistic view, we've got to go away to City, away to Liverpool. We've still got to play Chelsea. It's probably not going to happen. But what's the harm in getting a little bit carried away?
No, enjoy it. Enjoy the moment.
We're up there with two, in my opinion, the two best teams in Europe at the moment. And we're pushing them all the way. And if we can be in a position where we go to both of them grounds and they know they have to beat us, all the pressure's on them, you never know what happens.
Yeah.
I think you've got to have a bit of belief.
We'll talk to a more negative Spurs fan now, but you're just happy that we're keeping the gap between fourth as big as it is, aren't you, really?
I'm delighted where we are. I'm kind of more realistic. Yeah, of course I want us to win the league.
And take mid-table.
I've seen too many years of that. You know, we've probably got more points now than we used to get over three seasons. I think the Burnley away game, they're playing well now. That's now not an easier game than it would have been if we'd have been playing them. It's a game we should still win.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we've got five hard games still. I think we've got the three away games that Sam's mentioned. We've got City, Chelsea and Liverpool away. And we've got Woolwich. And we've also got West Ham at home. West Ham at home's always a difficult game. And I just think without them five games, we're likely to drop some points. Even if we only drop 6 points out of them five games, let's say.
It'll still be brilliant.
We're still I just think that
our next three in the Premier League are Burnley away, Chelsea away, Arsenal at home.
Yeah,
but 9 points.
You know what? How many points did we take out of that last season? 9.
What have we got to lose in this situation? We're expected to fall away, so we can go in these games and just play without any fear. Spurs fans know we've already achieved well this season.
I think an important thing with them three games, as you quite rightly say, if we did win all them three games, we're definitely finishing the top four. You know, I think we will anyway, but that will, you know, we'll be putting Woolwich and Chelsea way back. And with Man United, they may drop, they're going to drop points against City and Liverpool.
Definitely.
So I think if we can get ourselves in that position, and when we go and play Liverpool and City, as you quite rightly say, there's no pressure on us.
No, at all.
Technically, we can afford to lose the game as regards below us. We can't, obviously, if we want to win the title, but I think the pressure's on them.
Well,
I think no one's going to, you know, we're going to turn Sky on that day and they're all going to say, oh, well, City are going to win, Liverpool are going to win.
Yeah, 100%, and it's perfect for us. So, after those three league games, and we've got the Champions League game sandwiched in there, we've then got Southampton away and Palace at home. So again, and then we have Liverpool, but then we've got Brighton and Huddersfield, and then it's City. So actually,
it's sandwiched apart quite nicely.
You can build momentum between the big
you
games.
You can.
Southampton are a dreadful team. I think they'll go down. That's a game we should beat Brighton at home, but you know.
Last game of the season, Everton at home.
Yes, I know
we'll
that.
We'll go into that knowing, you know, win secures the title. And if we don't win Liverpool in the league, do you reckon Everton will put up much of a fight that day? Everton will kick the ball in for us.
We did it twice at Old Trafford and we laid down and died on both games. And we were all quite happy to see us do that. Because it stopped Woolwich winning the title. When you've got nothing to play for, it doesn't matter.
But yeah, trying to urge as many people just to get behind the team. Let's just keep the somewhat race going until we're out of it.
What I would like is to see a few more Spurs supporters. Everyone's moaning about Wembley. Yeah, we've all had enough of it, but go to Wembley, get behind the team. We have been going every game. Or I know we weren't there at the weekend, but we would.
Well, I was there,
yeah.
But we don't want to travel all the way to Wembley, do we? No, I think it's pretty.
I mean, that Watford game, I know it was cold and that, but you know, 30,000, for Christ's sake, come on, get behind the team.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I do feel that a lot of responsibility needs to sit with the club.
Oh, 100%.
And ticket pricing, given the time of the year, because the Southampton home game was the same, it's 30,000, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right, but that was right on top of Christmas. And they're charging £35 for Southampton at home, and it's the same for Watford. So I do agree with you.
£30 for the low tier, £20 for the upper. If it's what
I do agree with you in terms of, you know, like people should be going, but for some people, you know, Wembley might not, especially night games, be realistic for them.
And I just hope, when are we going to come on to it? But I just hope on Wednesday there's a really, really, you know, a 75,000 plus crowd there.
So I think there will be.
Well, Dortmund's going to be another tasty game. I mean, the group stage game, which me and you, right, Sam, last season, was one of the that's one of the highest quality games I've been at for ages. Like, there's barely any mistakes in it. The atmosphere was incredible. I mean, they're flying Dortmund at the minute. They're top of the league in Germany. Mm. They did drop points at the weekend. Who was it?
Fell apart to Hoffenheim. Freeing them up with 15 minutes to go and fell apart. Ended up 3-3. So
3-3. Jadon Sancho is the young English winger, the one they got from City, who, you know, has been one of their star players this season. I mean, they're a good side. We played them just over a year ago, so we know what to expect. They know what to expect from us. I think it's going to be a really great game. I think it's going to be two sides that really try and win both legs. I can't imagine. You know how Juventus approached the game against us last year, where they're happy to sit back and play? Dortmund aren't going to do that.
I don't think Dortmund can do that. If you look at their defence, obviously you look at Juventus, they could do that against any team in the world. But I don't think Dortmund can. And I think it's great for, as I know we're Spurs fans, we want us to get as far in the competition as possible, but the whole point of the Champions League is to see the best quality of football. And I think, like you say, Jack, it's going to bode well for anyone going on Wednesday night. It's going to be a cracking game.
Yeah. What are your predictions for that
game? I think it's going to be a very open game. I think there'll be a lot of goals. I really do. I just think, I think we're going to need to score 3 goals.
Mm.
I really do, to take a lead there. I really think we need 3 goals.
If we could, I don't think we will. We could keep a clean sheet, that's massive. Because, you know, even if you win 1-0, you can then go away and lose 2-1 and you get through. I think at this stage it's very rare you see clean sheets in the knockout games, and because both the sides, you've got to be top team to get the Champions League knockout.
I just think also, you know, we've had no favours again from the Premier League. Surely we should have been playing Saturday to have the extra day. Well,
Dortmund played Friday.
Yeah, I know. But and often in Spain, they have to... I don't know, are you Man United playing in the Champions League this week? You know?
Yeah, they're playing tomorrow night.
They've got PSG, that's probably why they played Liverpool. On Saturday. But yeah, they're not playing, I don't think, until next week.
But you know what I mean, though? It is poor.
But I think part of that is that the Champions League, obviously, this season's BT Sport.
Yeah.
And the Premier League games were Sky Sport. So they're not going to work together, are
they? No, I just think as a league, you know, we should be looking at helping us out.
I agree with you. From Sky's point of view, it's a case of where can we put the games on to get the most viewing figures? Yeah. They honestly do not care. They would have known that we could put Spurs on Friday night, much less people are going to watch it, but it helps the English. They don't care about stuff. No, they just want their viewing figures, unfortunately. So predictions then for the Dortmund game?
I think we're going to win 3-2 on the night, and we are going to get through overall.
Sam?
I really don't know. I think Dortmund are a good attacking team, but I think if you actually break down their team, it's not as good as what you think it is. So I think there'll be goals. I think it'll be a narrow win. I couldn't say by what, but I think we'll narrowly win. I think it'll be all to play for when we go out to Dortmund.
I think it will be for a neutral, the perfect scoreline. I think we'll win 2-1.
Yeah, yeah.
Also going to say, I think the Champions League will play a part in the Championship race, for the title. I don't think it'll affect us, whatever happens to us, but if the other teams get through, both the Manchester clubs and Liverpool get through, they're going to end up playing each other at some point.
Imagine City-Liverpool.
You could get City-Liverpool like you had last year, where, you know, Liverpool, I think, won something like 5-1, and it was a total...
Yeah.
There's no way it was a... But you could get a Manchester derby. You could get United against Liverpool, and that could just... I think United against Liverpool, say that was a quarter-final Champions League, I think that could just take Liverpool minds off of titles and things like that. And I think that could be a distraction that could help us. Whereas with us, if we get through, because I think we will, if we drew United, City or Liverpool, if they all got through, I don't think it would make that much to us. But I think with them, all the three northern clubs, it would.
I think that the biggest side that it would have a negative impact on would be Liverpool.
Yes.
Because I think the City squad is good enough.
They've got two teams. They can play their reserve
team in the Premier League, and pretty much every one of their reserve team players would start anywhere else. Whereas Liverpool, they've got a great squad this season, but they're just not quite on the same level, those second-tier players that come in.
And also, I just want to make this point. You know, Tottenham, you know, if you live in London, if you don't watch Tottenham in the Champions League, you've got to drive 200 miles to see it.
There you go. Just a quick one. Do you want it? Let's say Spurs can't win the title, right? So it's between City and Liverpool. Who would you want to win it?
City.
Who would you want to win it?
City. Yeah. Can't stand the
hatred of Liverpool is like nothing I've ever seen, which I just find amazing. Right. It's time now for the We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur.
So, for anybody that doesn't know this feature of the show, I will give you a game that Spurs have played in, and I will name you about half of that starting lineup, and you need to guess the other half.
I'm rubbish
now,
at this.
Now, this feature is always a historic game for Spurs versus our next opponent. So, it is Spurs versus Dortmund, so it's a fairly recent one. But we're going to have a few more twists to the feature this week. So the first one, so this is Tottenham against Dortmund, the 3-1 game in the group stage last year. Hang on. So the first thing you need to work out is what formation we played that night. That's the first question. See if you can get that. Can you remember?
A normal 4-2-3-1?
Wasn't a 4-2-3-1. What are you thinking, Sam?
I know Sam was playing.
Sam was
so
playing.
Did we play with wing backs?
We did play with wing backs. So we played 5-3-2 in the game last year.
Okay.
So direct. So goalkeeper was Hugo Lloris.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make another scene out. You need to get the right wing back is a question mark. We'll come on to these at the end.
Yeah.
First centre half was Sanchez.
Yeah.
Second centre half was Alderweireld.
Yeah.
Third centre half was Vertonghen.
Yeah.
Left wing back was a question mark. Three central midfielders.
Yeah.
Christian Eriksen, the first one. The other two are both question marks.
Yeah.
You might want to just put question marks down to you've got to get two centre midfielders. And then up front was Kane and then a question mark.
Look.
So you need to get the two wing backs, two centre midfielders, and then the strike partner of Kane.
This was the 3-1
group
when
game.
When we went group game.
So what because this is fairly recent, what I want you to do is decide between you the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players that you're going to go for and like submit it in one go and let's see if you can get them all right
so
in one go.
They're what the wing backs are.
So for everyone listening, what are you thinking with the wing backs?
So Dad, you've wrote these down straight away.
Yeah, I don't think that Rose played. I think that Davis played. And I think Serge played at right back. And we've got Son up front with Kane. And then Ali wasn't playing, was he? Because he was suspended from the season before. So the other two midfielders, we've got they're the two we've got to get.
What are you thinking?
Probably Lamella, possibly.
My immediate
Eric Dier must have been in that team.
Wasn't Moussa playing in that game?
I want you to give me all five answers and we'll see.
Okay, go on, Dad, write down what you think.
So you've written Dier down there as one that you think, and then your other
and you
one.
You think Lamella.
What do you think, Sam? Are you agreed on the wing backs? Can you remember?
It was just that Serge played, you know, he played most of them rather than
Aurier did play because I think we were there and he was putting in quite a few rash challenges during the first half.
Sounds like Serge Aurier.
I'd go with the same fullbacks. I'd be surprised if Dembélé was fit. I'd be surprised if he was playing, but I can't remember if he was injured or not during that.
So who are you going to go with? So what are your five players? Who are you going
go
for?
With that, yeah? So we'll go with Ori and Davis. And we'll go Dier and Dembélé. And then Sam.
So I'll tell you, your right wing back is correct. It was Serge Aurier. Your left wing back, you said Ben Davis.
Mm.
That's correct.
Mm.
Your centre forward, you said was Son. That's correct. Your two central midfielders, Eric Dier.
Yeah.
Was correct. And then the last one, you were debating on whether or not it was Dembélé or whether it was Lamella.
Yeah.
And Sam, you said it was Dembélé.
I said it was Dembélé. Dad thought it was Lamella, yeah.
But we went with Dembélé.
And it was Moussa Dembélé.
Was it?
Playing in that. So there you go. So we played 5-3-2. So it was Hugo in goal.
Good team.
Aurier, Alderweireld, Sanchez, Vertonghen, Davis, Eriksen, Dembélé, Dier, Son, and then Kane.
Actually got one right.
Now, bonus. Bonus round.
Subs, probably.
No, not subs. It was 3-1 that game.
Yeah.
The goal scorers in that game were Son and Kane got two, and Yarmolenko scored for Dortmund.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what we'll do now is, I want you to see if you can tell me what minute those goals were scored in, and whoever's closest gets the point.
So you're
against each other.
Right, okay.
So the first goal in that game was scored by Son. So Sam, you go first for the first one. So what minute do you think the Sun goal was?
I'm going to say 5.
5, okay.
I was going to say 8.
And you were going to say 8.
Because we went 1-0 up and then they equalised, didn't
so
they?
So it was actually in the 4th minute of that game.
Well,
so that's 1-0 to Sam there. The second goal in that game was Yarmolenko for Dortmund equalised. You're going to go first on this one. So
not
what minute
after
did Yarmolenko score?
12.
12? What are you going for?
I don't know why. I think it's 11.
It's 11.
He's
got
it
bang
done.
On. He's got it
well
bang
done.
On.
Well
two
done.
2 from 2. There we go.
Well
okay.
done.
So that was 1-1. Then the next goal, which put Spurs 2-1 up, was scored by Harry Kane. So Sam, you're going first. What minute was that?
It wasn't that long afterwards either, because it was 3-1. I'm going to say around 20.
20. What are you going to say?
I'll go 26 then.
26. Sam, you're closest. It was actually 15.
It was 15th minute.
Because
I remember turning to you 15 minutes in thinking, we haven't touched the ball, but we're winning.
Yeah. So Son on 4, Yarmolenko on 11, Kane on 15. Kane then got the third in this game. So you'll go first on this one. So what minute was Kane's second goal,
second
third?
Second half.
Maybe it wasn't.
I'm going to say it's around 70 minutes.
70? What are you going to go with?
Considering I was in Italy, I weren't at this game. Yeah. I'm doing quite well here.
I think it was earlier than that. 60.
60? Bang on.
Oh, no.
Bang on. So you've got Sun on five, so you're a minute out there. Yarmolenko, bang on. What did you say for Kane?
It's only a couple of minutes.
I said 20. I said 20. So
that is pretty good odds. I mean, it's an absolute rout, that. And then final question, who got sent off in that game and what minute was it?
Sorry?
Who got sent off in that game and what minute was it?
Incredible question.
Is it a Tottenham player?
Tottenham player got sent off.
What?
I had no recollection. I had absolutely no recollection for this.
What game did Hugo get sent off in the Champions League last year? Or he was injured or something?
Do you want to have a stab in the dark?
Yeah.
Jan Vertonghen.
Yeah, because it was. Remember it now. Was.
Go on, can you remember?
It was a really unfair second yellow.
Yes.
It was one of them ones where he was running to get the ball, Dortmund player was running to get the ball, he's won it, but from the ref's angle, looked like he'd followed for him to come out. He gave him a second yellow for it. It was well out of order.
It's always very eccentric refereeing.
From the BBC match report, it says the home side ended the game with 10 men as Tottenham defender Jan Vertonghen was shown a second yellow card for catching Dortmund substitute Mario Götze with a swinging arm. So there you go. It was a strange one. Sam, there's some top answers in there. Really, really good. A couple of listener questions to finish. So the first one is from friend of the show, Giles Edwards. Question for tonight's show. If you could switch our scoreline with City's at the weekend, would you? I.e., we beat Leicester 6-0 and they beat Chelsea 3-1. He said, personally, I wouldn't.
No, I'd leave it how it was.
Sam, what do you think?
No, I'd leave it out. I can't stand the
Chelsea humiliation.
Yeah.
And then Roger Booth on Twitter got in touch last week and said, guys, if it wasn't for Ledley's injury problems, how far do you think he could have gone? Would he have stayed with us or could he have played for one of the top clubs? What do you think?
I think he would have stayed with us because I think he's Tottenham through and through. He could have played for one of the top clubs. Of course he could have done. He could have ended up maybe going playing in Spain for one of the top two. Is that good?
Mm.
Is that good?
I think he potentially could have ended up at Man United.
I could have seen that as well, because that was the England partnership that could have won us. Mm. Like, I know John Terry's a scumbag, but he was a good leader for Chelsea. But I think if Ledley was fit playing alongside Rio Ferdinand, that would have been unbelievable.
And Ledley never struck me as somebody that you would necessarily see playing abroad.
Mm. You know, he's quite a homebody.
He is not flash, or anything like that.
Loves the shop in Sainsbury's.
He does. I met him, didn't I, last year in Sainsbury's local, which was fantastic. It was absolutely brilliant. What a nice guy. So there you go. Thanks, Roger, for the questions.
Great
there.
Question.
And that's it for this week. You know, massive game Wednesday night at Wembley. No Premier League game at the weekend, but we will still be podding next week. We'll just be doing a bit of a retro show. So. Thanks for joining. Thanks for listening, everyone. And remember, whatever happens, future's bright, future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realised until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain. One of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. The curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Rafael van der Vaart, 2-2! It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.